Daniel Taylor taking on Tommy Cooper. Take us back to the moment before in your life you weren't doing that and how it came about that you were.
But before, when the idea was conceived, yeah. I'd been working with a writer, Ian Carroll, who's based over in Liverpool where I live, and he'd written, I'd done a play for him about John Lennon, about his assassination. And anyway, we went to the pub one night to talk about it after a show, and I brought it out, I said, Ian, you know, there's something missing here, I really want to play Tommy Cooper. And he went, go on then, give us your best Tommy. And I did it in the pub, and that night we ended up getting very drunk, just telling Tommy Cooper jokes. And two weeks after that, we had a sort of spine of a show that we could sort of work from, and it kind of we've never looked back really. The show's sort of evolving every night that we're doing it. So, yeah.
And so was that an impersonation of him that you could do that evolved into a show? Have you always been able to do Tommy?
I think that I've always been able to do it. It's funny because the impersonation thing is something that you kind of do when you're a kid. If you like, sort of, I used to do a lot of impressions. I'm an actor by trade, and I went to London to train as an actor at Webber Douglas. And when I came out of there, I take it very seriously. I treat it as a craft. I'm always wanting to learn, and I think the best thing that's come out of it for me is that a lot of people have said that it's not an impersonation of Tommy Cooper, that it's they feel like they're watching Tommy Cooper, and that he was quite a desperate man. I think he was quite a lost person as well within all of that, you know. But our show isn't a dark show. I think it's poignant, but we're trying to keep it as bright as possible. And especially with what's sort of been out recently with the BBC drama, to try and show him off in a more positive light, in the light that maybe his daughter and the people that I've met that knew Tommy Cooper knew him as well. And there seems to be a pattern that there's a person there that wasn't the person that we saw maybe in the drama or what's been maybe written in the press. So we just want to show him off in the best light, and we're very lucky that we've got all this material to sort of use.
But as an actor then, how do you get past it being an impersonation to it being, you know, it's much more an interpretation of him, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, speaking to people that knew him and trying to understand Tommy and what it, you know, he was renownedly tight with his money, everyone would say, but you know, he'd spend fortunes on getting the best gag writers from America, from New York, and he was the only person in this country that could get a gag writer from New York who was writing for Maxwell, Bob Hope, people like that. And it was the work ethic that went in, that even if he was out and he'd be out on his own at a bar, he was always trying new material on people. And I think it's that thing of not wanting to fail. He was in the army. He was taken out of the front line because he was shot. So he ended up joining the concert party. And I think it's that thing of not wanting to fail. But his background is very much... his uncle was a clown back in Wales in 1921. It was already sort of in the blood there, you know. And it's getting all of that, taking that on board. And I think, obviously, there's the stuff with the alcohol... And
is it true that you spent £100,000 on plastic surgery to look like him?
more, in fact.
But you do look like him, don't you?
Yes, and I've got a bit method with this, but I've actually decided to put on a bit of weight for the role. I've been touring in Blood Brothers, the musical, which I go straight back onto for a few months after this, and I've got to somehow kind of lose it all again and play a 9-year-old. I do look a bit like Tommy Cooper.
There's probably a bit of a prejudice probably in the rest of the country that, you know, Liverpool actors always play in Blood Brothers and play dark characters and trouble people. Is that true? Because you know, Tommy Cooper did have a dark side too.
Yeah.
I've got Tommy Cooper laughing.
Ha ha ha.
But are you drawn, what kind of parts are you drawn to other than Tommy?
What other arts?
What other parts?
Parts. Parts. I very much like dangerous characters. I like the simpletons as well. But these are the parts that I always seem to get as well. You know, there's an old joke with an old agent that I used to have. Was it wife beaters and half wits? Where's Danny? You know, that was my first sort of 5 years out of drama school. You know, and I'm like that. You know, you leave your dignity at the door. That's always been my belief. That's why I'm in this, to sort of put everything of me into it, you know. Did I answer the question?
You did. Can you take us into one of your rehearsals for this show?
Rehearsals?
Yeah. What were they like?
Fun. It's a bit strange, really, because we only had five days rehearsal. I've been doing some music gigs because I write music as well. And I'd been away. I came back and we had rehearsals first thing on the Monday morning up in Liverpool with... It's a three-hander, our piece. We have Warwick Evans, who you may have heard of, and Sharon Byatt, who was in Bread and Brookside, things like that. She's done some great theatre. We've got a really heavyweight sort of cast, really, in terms of things that they've done. And
but were they laughing at you all the time?
Yes, and they still do. And I think the great thing about Tommy Cooper is, I think the more you can actually go wrong with it, the more right it can kind of, can go in your favour, you know. So I think it's not to be afraid to kind of go wrong. And if it does, then just make sure you're keeping the creature alive, you know. But yeah, have fun with it. This is a little boy trapped in a grown man's body, you know. That's Tommy Cooper, you know. But within all of that, there is a work ethic and there is a desire to make people laugh, you know. And let's not forget, he was a very good magician as well. You know, the magic circle loved him, and he was very dedicated to that. And I think to do magic as well as he did, you'd have to do it so much to be able to get it wrong. Does that make sense?
And if anything, he made magic accessible to a lot of people, didn't he? Because a lot of magicians were very kind of dour and serious kind of people.
Yeah, he made it fun. Yeah. He made it fun and brought it to life with his extraordinary wit. Wit that's, it's not vulgar, it's not offensive. And that's why so many people are drawn to Tommy Cooper. I went to the doctors today. I had to, he's not been well.
The classic lines, and there are so many of them. Final question. It's kind of one of my main questions I often ask when there's a piece about someone that's no longer alive that everybody knows. And it's this. It's that you are playing in a venue and a ghost who played there once just happens to wander in and take the one empty seat at the back, and it's the ghost of Tommy. And he watches this show. And you get a chance that he comes up to you afterwards and is able to talk to you. What do you think he'd say to you? What do you think he'd say about the Tommy Cooper show?
What would he say? He would say, just like that.
Got to end on that. Thank you very much, Daniel Taylor.